This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Welcome. Thank you for joining me. Please open your King James Bibles to the beautiful book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 3, where we left off last time. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 3. Before we begin, I want to invite every one of you under the sound of my voice to come to my school, Sherry Medlock School, Cocoa, Florida, on Sunday, April 1st at 5 p.m. for a beautiful worship service called The Cross, the Blood, the Heart. And we're going to be celebrating the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Passover, who is sacrificed for us. My twin friend Scott has a beautiful supernatural picture show for you, and I have a beautiful supernatural Word of God, line by line from the Bible for you, and we have communion, April 1st, 5 p.m., and communion. Come each Sunday, 5 p.m., here at my school for Word and Prayer. Come Wednesday, 6 p.m., Word and Warrior Prayer, and also learning how to pray better. And on Thursdays, I open the door at 12 noon until 2 p.m. Scott meets me here, and we pray and pray and pray. And if you walk in, we'll pray for you or call in. So now we go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, Song of Solomon's. In the original manuscript, this means the most beautiful song. It's the greatest love story ever told. While it's written in symbology, sort of like a metaphor or parable, remember Jesus always spoke in parables, there's a deeper significance there. God simply uses the beautiful love between a man and a woman and all the passion and emotion to express the love between God and between us. To understand this, you have to know it's a play. Our heroine is the beautiful Shulamite girl, and she's been working in the hot sun. She is a type of the present, very elect men and women, boys and girls, who are not going to be deceived when the Antichrist appears at the sixth trump very soon. She's not going to marry the devil. The Antichrist is a devil with his Jesus costume on. She's going to wait. The wonderful shepherd boy she's in love with, and he represents Jesus, so they're engaged to be married. They love each other. All the elect are madly in love with Jesus. You might say, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not in love with him. I don't know him. If you love somebody, you would know them. And if you know somebody, you would love them. So you might not be a Christian. You might want to check on that because it's a love story. And we have a King Solomon who is a type of the Antichrist. And he's very rich. And he's already married all the other beautiful women in the play. They're called the Daughters of Jerusalem. He's the Antichrist having deceived the whole world and half the body of Christ. It will be even half the body of Christ is going to marry the Antichrist. Remember, Jesus is coming back for a bride. Well, there's going to be a wedding before that one. And so he's the deceiver. But what he's done is he's trying to make eyes at the Shulamite girl. Because, see, the Antichrist wants everybody to love him. So did King Solomon. So he summoned her to his palace to try to woo her. But in our story last week, she escaped the palace. She said, I don't want to marry this. I want my wonderful shepherd boy. So she went outside and she looked in the streets. Where's my shepherd boy? Have you seen the one my soul loves? And then finally she found him and she said, I found him. I found him whom my soul loves. I held him. I would not let him go. And then chapter 3 last week, she told him how wonderful he was. See, great people tell you how great you are. Little people tell you how great they are. And so when you pray, no flattery from your heart, tell God how great he is. And so we went through that, and she was bragging on him because she loves him. And as we left off last week, the first couple of chapters of chapter 4, the wonderful shepherd spoke, and then he told her what he thought about her. Now, what does this mean to you? You are the Shulamite girl, if you're called, chosen, and elected, totally giving your life to the Lord, men, women, boy, or girl. And here is what the Lord thinks about you. If you're in his will, you're going to hear it. So we're going to find out what he thinks about you. Now, we got half of a verse last week. He said to her, Oh, my darling, he said, your lips are like a thread of scarlet. Your speech is comely beautiful. There are a few things in the Bible that God calls precious. One is called the lips of knowledge. And red symbolizes that you would speak the words of life. The wonderful words of life come from the Bible. So, Jesus says to you, elect, and this could be in your day-to-day witnessing or those of us who have Bible ministries or whatever. You're all supposed to be sharing the word. He says, I love if you have lips of knowledge that you take my word and speak the wonderful words. He says, I call that beautiful. Comely means beautiful. See? So that's where we left off. He's bragging on her. Now, does he call your lips beautiful?
My temples are like a piece of a pomegranate.
Now, in your head, between your temples, you've got something there called a mind, right? Okay. Now, he decides to call this a pomegranate. A pomegranate is a symbol of fertility. You open a pomegranate, seed. I've never seen so much seed. Seed, and seed is what reproduces fertility. So he says, oh, your lips carry the beautiful, precious word of God from the Bible. That's beautiful. And he says, your mind, Paul says, have the mind of Christ. Your mind is filled with the word of God. You've got a seed to sow for every ailment of humankind. Right now, the elect has enough seed between our temples and our mental pomegranate to feed this earth, and the word would cover this world as waters that cover the sea. We got that much seed, and it would be a harvest for this entire world. And that's what you have. You have an absolute reservoir of the seed of God. Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. No milk, no baby stuff. And he says, that's beautiful. You know, seed's very important. God dropped a seed of himself into a virgin named Mary, and the Lord Jesus was born. Then Jesus, like a corn of wheat, died. He says, if a corn of wheat does not fall into the ground and die, it can not bear fruit. And when Jesus resurrected, then he brought forth much fruit, first fruits, many, many children. So he says, you elect that pomegranate, the mind of Christ. I do not mean cold librarian files of words, dead. I'm talking about where it's living in you, where you live it, where it's, the word of God is energy. The word of God is life. If your word in you is dead, you better check something. There's nothing can be dead about it. And if you're sowing this, then you are bringing souls in. So she said, that is so beautiful.
Within thy locks, for thy neck is like the tower of David, for an army, wherein are hung 1,000 bucklers of shields of mighty men.
Now, in the natural, King David had some wonderful, mighty men warriors, and he gave them all the best weapons, the shield and spears, and they protected King David. They would gather around. It would be like if he was in a tower. They would protect him at the top. And so what he's saying to the Shulamite girl, and what Jesus is saying to you, men, women, boys, and girls, elect, he's saying, I love your neck. Your neck is beautiful. What does your neck do? Your neck supports your head, right? Who's the head? Jesus is the head, and we're the body. Well, who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he says, I love your neck. It supports the Word of God. See, an elect never tries to tear down the Word of God or replace the Word of God with a book about the book or a prophet statement or this, a Facebook or anything out. What the elect does, see, everything is in the Word. God is the Word, and so Jesus loves that. That's what you need. If you have the Word, you've got all the rest. Everybody tries to get all the rest in little bits of fluffy pieces, and you've left the whole thing out if you don't have the Word. And so he says that you have that Word.
Thy two breasts are like two young roes that are twins, which feed among the lilies.
Now I can just hear some old geezer out there saying, I'm just wondering how Sherry's going to get out of that one. Well, I'm going to get out of it the way God showed me, okay? Remember that God gave women breasts to feed sweet little babies who are not yet ready for a New York strip, right? And two is better than one. The Bible says two is better than one. If one falls, the other helps out. It's symbology. Breast feed. And the elect are to feed because we have the lips of knowledge, the scarlet thread. We have the pomegranate, the mind of God in us. And we have that word. And so we feed the people. We feed the littlest, we feed the very elect, but we also feed the kids, we feed the babies, we feed people who've never been saved. God always works in twos. And he says in the Bible, two is better than one. I believe it was Luke 10 that Jesus sent out 70 disciples. This is other than the 12. Two by two. He put them together as two. In other words, it is God's order that as we are ministering for the Lord, that we have a kindred spirit twin in the Lord. Now, I'm not talking anything about, you know, marriage and stuff like that. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about two people who have the kindred spirit, the same purpose, no competition, whole total heart of God, total awareness of the calling. And in other words, that's what we're about. And so God always, when he says it's just not good to be alone, when one falls, the other picks you up. And so he puts us in two by twos. And if you will serve God long enough, he will bring someone who does strengthen that other part of you so that once in a while you can say, hey, I might need a prayer myself, you see. And one thing, those of you who are so blessed to have a spiritual twin friend, nurture that. Don't take it for granted and wait and never do your part. Watch out for that person. Watch out when they're depressed. Watch out when they're going down. Watch out when their faith is wavering, and go and pick them up. Two is better than one. See, your twins. Understand?
Yes.
Okay. Go out two by two.
Six, until the day break, the shadows flee away.
Now, this is beautiful. Remember, now the shepherd boy is talking to the Shulamite girl. They finally found each other in the streets. Now, here's what this means. Remember, this is Jesus. This goes back a bit in time. He tells her, my darling, I'm going to have to go away for a little while until the day breaks. What day is that? Book of Revelation, the day of the Lord, the seventh trump, when Jesus returns, the shadow of death is passed away. At the Passover supper, remember that this Song of Solomon is always read at Passover, and you'll hear it. The disciples were very sad. Jesus says, I must needs go away. For if I do not go away, the Holy Spirit will not come to you. And so they had the Passover supper, and he walked out and let himself be crucified, and he died and shed his blood, arose from the dead, ascended back to God. But he said, I will come again until the day break, the dawning of a new day, the day of the Lord, the seventh trump, after the Antichrist. And don't forget, in our story, King Solomon is there and trying to find the Shulamite girl. Don't forget that the elect are going to be delivered up to Antichrist, not to cut your head off. He's going to try to convince you that he is Jesus. So this is sad. He says, I'm going to have to go away. She listens carefully. Wait a minute. I just found you.
But get me to the mountain of myrrh.
I've got to go climb a hill. Myrrh is gloom. I believe the hill is called Golgotha, and I'm going to die on a cross for the sins of mankind. I'm going to bleed, and I'm going to die for the world.
And to the hill of frankincense.
Then they will bring frankincense spices for my body. Remember, the ladies did that.
Seven, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee.
So he moves on, he says, but I'm coming again. Look up, I'm coming again. When I come, my fair one, my elect men and women who have waited for me and have been true to me and did not marry the Antichrist, you're the only ones that can come to me because there will be no spot in you. Half of the body of Christ, recognized in Song of Solomon as the daughters of Jerusalem, would have married the Antichrist. The whole world would have wed him. But he said, you have no spot. Revelation 15, it says, those who overcome the soon coming Antichrist will sing the overcomer's song. It is found in Deuteronomy 32. Their spots, not our spot. That spot of the leper, that spot of sin, can only be washed away with the blood of Jesus. And you, elect, are the only ones that will have no spot of sin in you. Because even those Christians who went to church and loved the Lord but got deceived, the spot's back there because they worship the devil thinking he's Jesus. No spot in you, my elect. Paul tells us Jesus is coming back. We just studied in Ephesians, without spot, without blemish, without wrinkle.
Eight, come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. with me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Ammonon.
Now, we're going to have about three mountains here. Remember, he's telling us going to leave. He knows this is hard. And see, it's hard for us now. He's not with us physically. We feel his presence, and he would be with her too. But he says, don't get discouraged. Go to Ammon, look up there. You know what that means? Covenant. Remember, mine elect, you have a covenant cut in blood of Jesus Christ. A covenant is a contract. Every promise in the Bible is a contract sworn by the blood of Jesus. And God's not a man that he should lie. Amen. Do you understand when you read that Bible, you can trust it? That's not just something you read and then go on and figure out how to live by yourself and how to fix your car and how to fix your job and how to fix your dog and how to fix your problems. You read the Bible and it is your promise. So you have a covenant.
From the top of Shemaiah.
And that one means snow mountain. That means that covenant causes you to be pure. So, because you are pure, washed in that blood, you may go to that covenant, to that contract, and you may claim every promise in there. If you do the ifs, he will honor that.
And Hermon.
Hermon. Hermon means more like, your promises, he will fulfill his promises, going to fulfill his promises. So he says, you have this promise of the covenant, you be very pure, and we know then he's going to help you.
Lions' dens from the mountains of the leopard. 9.
The lion, he bitches the lion and the leper. You know, your adversary, the devil, goes about like a lion seeking whom he may devour. The Antichrist is coming and he's going to pretend to be Christ. He's going to deceive the whole world. And a leopard can't change his spot. But so encourage us. And so see, now you have this same kind of encouragement. That last one, Hermon, also means peak, like P-E-A-K. It means that because you have the covenant, and your heart is made pure by that blood covenant, you, elect, may seek and go to the depths of the love of Jesus Christ. Oh, love of God! The ocean can't even contain you to the peaks and the depths of the love of God. Don't you dare stay mediocre. Don't you dare stay halfway in love with him. Go and seek all of him. You have that capacity. When you seek him with all your heart, you'll find him. You have more of him. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of the water spout. You can do that, mine elect.
That's ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. Thou hast ravished my heart with one of thine eyes.
He tells her, you've ravished my heart with just one of your eyes. I remember walking into a big restaurant, and lots of people in there, and I was all decked up pretty. And I saw a man over the wall over there. Boy, was he giving me the eye. Okay, you know that eye look? Y'all know that? Yeah, anybody know about that? Okay. You know, the girl said, you batting your eyes at me. And you, my guy, you batting your eyes at me. Well, it's that love eye. You know, the love. What he's talking about here is, Jesus says, mine elect, I just love the way that you are single-eyed and purpose. Your eye is like a flint, that you're going to know the heart of Jesus, that you're going to stay true, and you're going to be useful to me, and you're going to get that well done, and you're going to bring in souls, and you're going to get that word, and you're going to get that mission accomplished, because you are determined. You've got your eye focused, single purpose. Do you understand?
Yeah.
And you're thinking of me. Your eye doesn't go hither, thither, and yon. Oh, today I'm so interested in this and I'm so interested in that. We are well-rounded people. We know what's going on. But tell you the truth, you can bring it all together and put it right there. We all need to repent. We need Jesus in the Bible. When you get right down to it. So, single eye to the Lord. Keep your eye on the Lord. Turn your eyes on Jesus. The things of the world will go strangely dim at the light of Jesus' glory and grace.
With one chain of thy neck.
Just one eye. What if all of you search for Jesus all the time?
And how fair is thy love, my sister, my spouse.
And he says, when I come back, we'll have the marriage supper of the Lamb. And you and I are going to be married. The real marriage. The pure marriage. The snow mountain marriage. Not having been dirtied by a phony bridegroom coming before his time.
How much better is thy love than wine?
And he said, that's going to be so much fun, we won't even need to pour champagne.
And the smell of thy ointments with all spices. 11. Thy lips, O my spouse, drop as the honeycomb. milk are under thy tongue.
Did you see what he did? He went back to the words again. Do you understand? You say, isn't Jesus a bit obsessed with the word? Of course. He's the word. I mean, that's God. God is the word. And the word is everything. See, before there was a flesh body called Jesus, there was the word. Before there was a Bible, there was the word. The word is God. And it's powerful and it's bigger than a two-edged sword. And it holds up the universe. And all those things that you think are important are like little tiny little dots in that thing. And so he says, I just can't get over it, you elect. You in your lips of knowledge, you bring the sweet gospel story, the honey. I mean, you know how to feed the honey to the people who are starving. But you also now know how to feed the baby Christian. You got to get him saved and you give him milk. He's come right back to it. Don't you understand, body of Christ? Hear me, elect. You run hither, thither, and yon for all these thrills, and you go all over Facebook, and you waste hours. The Word of God shall endure forever, and it's got it all, because God is the Word. And if you're in the Word, you'll endure forever.
And the smell of thy garments is like the smell of Lebanon. 12, a garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse.
What he says here, while I'm away during the Antichrist reign, you're going to be protected, my elect. The Bible says he protects his elect. Jesus says not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Only the Antichrist is going to kill the two witnesses who are probably going to appear on the scene pretty soon. But that's not a sad story, because 3.5 days after they are murdered, Jesus comes and they arise again. So I don't think you're going to be one of the two witnesses. Somebody is, but nevertheless, it's not a bad story.
A spring shut up, a fountain sealed.
And I want to say about that, Holy Spirit just reminded me something. For those of you who are called, and we know that the demons come and the hurdles come, from this day forth, have no more fear of speaking of Jesus and the Bible in the public arena. The devil cannot touch us. He's not going to be able to touch us. And there's a seal. We're going to talk about the seal in just a few moments. In other words, Jesus said, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Yes, we're going to be delivered up to Antichrist. That's the purpose. So then we can get on worldwide television and let the Holy Spirit preach the gospel. And then the end shall come. See? But we win no matter what. We win.
Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates.
Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates. Isaiah 61. That they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And he says, my very elect, that sweet word, that word that smells so good, that you're from the seed you're sowing, and it's bringing others in. And now, in other words, it's growing. Your orchid is growing. You don't just have one pomegranate. Look, you've got a whole orchid of pomegranates. Now we got a whole church full of everybody's going out winning souls. Hallelujah. Everybody. What if you got 30 people? I want a soul. We have 30 people, and they bring in 30 more people the next week. How about that? Yeah. See, in other words, it just increases. That's your job. Go out, get this week, get cracking. And remember, when you share that word, don't do it dead. It won't do any good. The word's not dead. It must be, when you plant it, to be like a silver thread. It must be with the greatest love that they can feel that love. Otherwise, you're just quoting like a library book or a telephone directory or something.
Pleasant fruits, hamper and spikenard. Spikenard, calamus, cinnamon, all trees of frankincense.
Now, he's talking about that this will increase the body of Christ as each one of us learns how to plant these seeds and give this word, which is like honey and milk. It will increase, and then we'll have the many-membered body of Christ. And in the many-membered body of Christ, although we're one accord, we have many different gifts, and each gift has a spiritual flavor or savor or smell. You understand? But yet we all fitly joined together. Right here, listening out in cyberspace, and those of us in the room, we come from many varied backgrounds. But we all got one thing. Right now we listen to the Song of Solomon. Right now we want to be the Shulamite girl, do we not? Yes, we do. Right now we want to bring somebody in. Right now we want that pomegranate seed to go get someone. So see, you smell this way and you smell that way, because you got this gift and I got that gift and you got that gift. That's all right. We fit together in this orchid. Planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness.
Myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. 15 Fountain of Gardens, a well of living water.
And I never have to worry about you, my elect, the shepherd says to her. You never run dry. That anointing that is in your belly like a river coming out with the power of God, like a conduit, never runs dry. It's living. You're like a deep well of water, and the fountain is always there. That's because you have got a storage of pomegranate seeds. You've got the Word of God in you. You're watered. You're washed with water by the Word of God, and it pours from you all the time.
And streams of Lebanon.
Can you imagine, elect, that you're walking along, and wherever you go, people feel a little better because you walked by?
16, awake.
Now, this is the last verse. He's been telling her this. She's been listening intently. Jesus says, my sheep know my voice, and they hear my voice, and no other shepherd will they hear. She, the elect, us, have heard what Jesus says. We know he's coming back. So we understand our mission now. We've got to get this orchid all over this planet. So she, the Shulamite, says, and you and I, the elect, we say,
north wind, and come thou south, build upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come unto his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits.
So she says, and we say as the elect, oh, holy Ruach, blow from the north and from the south and the east and west. This word of God's truth going out on Trumpet of Truth right now. Blow it to the four corners of the earth. Blow it into Canada and Australia and Great Britain and Jerusalem. Blow it into every state of the United States of America, into Asia and the Mideast. Let this word be blown out all over this planet, that the word of God may cover this world as waters that cover the sea.
Amen.
And then shall the end come. Jesus says that when the elect are delivered up, the Holy Spirit's going to speak through us, and whatever he says is going to be the truth. And then the gospel shall be preached, and then the end shall come. And then our wonderful shepherd can come back, and we can be married and live happily ever after in our garden, our orchid of pomegranates. God bless you.
Amen.
We'll begin right there next time. Thank you. Wow. Greatest love story ever told. But it's time now for a mystery moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God. Let me introduce you to my twin friend, man of God, the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. I mean, no, deep calls to deep right there, doesn't
that
it?
That was good. You got the deep part, didn't you? That's what I like about you. You get the deep part.
Awesome stuff. Okay, our first question tonight. How are the saints to judge angels?
Jesus said that the saints shall judge angels. First of all, to answer that, you have to know what the word judge means. It's a Hebrew word, shafat. It means to set things in order. It doesn't mean to say that whether they're going to walk into the lake of fire or go to heaven or not. Okay, how do we set angels in order? First of all, we have to know that they're about us. It says he gives his angels charge over us to keep us in all our ways. They bear us up in their hands lest we dash our foot against a stone. It says we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. And it says that the angels in Hebrews are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those heirs of salvation. So how do we set things in order so the angels will help us? See, everybody who's a Christian has these angels. Why is it that one person gets helped by an angel and another doesn't? Because you don't know how to judge them. You don't know how to set them in order. Here's how you set them in order. Psalm 103 says that the angels respond to the voice of God. What is the voice of God? The Word. The Bible. Okay. See, you just, when you give up, say uncle, and just start learning the Word of God. You say the Word of God. I do it all the time. And then I know there's an angel around there somewhere, and he'll help me find something or help me not to get hurt or killed or whatever. And so that's what you do. You say the word of God, and that's how you set them in order. See, a lot of times you could have been blessed, but you don't know to do that. You just go right ahead trying to drive your own car. Don't try to drive it anymore. Let all this wonderful help that God has provided, let God help us.
Amen. We definitely need that word back in our schools.
Back in the school. Wouldn't that be something to start every day in the schools with a word and a prayer in the name of Jesus?
Yeah.
Let's just start doing it. Why don't we just start going and doing that?
Yeah.
Just
okay.
Walking. So I'd like to pray today for you.
Yeah, amen. Okay, our next question. Has the shaking of Hebrews 12 begun?
Yes, Hebrews 12 says anything that can be shaken will be shaken. What cannot be shaken will remain. Yes, the whole world is shaken. The three-headed government of the United States of America has been sorely shaken and should have been because it's been corrupt. The executive branch was shaken because after 8 years of corruption, nearly killing us, socialism and all, God shook it and planted our wonderful President Trump there to get things Shofar set in order. Okay, he's a good judge. And then, of course, the judicial system, we always thought, oh, goody, we have the FBI. My Lord, have mercy. The most corrupt thing you've ever seen. I've never seen so many lies and look like a banana republic. And then, of course, the legislature, the senators and the congressmen, half of those have been exposed for sexual, you know, wrong. And then, of course, the government of the football, America's favorite pastime, football. I mean, look at that thing shaken up. It's so shaken up that the Eagles won. You know why the Eagles won? Because those Eagles went in there and prayed. That's why.
Yes. So I mean, we see shaking everywhere. I mean, even education.
Everything that can be shaken. It's good. It's cleaning it out. Absolutely. Well, David left his stuff in the car, and Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. It's time now for Scott's stuff.
We must pray and ask the Lord to train us in moving within His supernatural spiritual realm. We must cast off our legalistic religious restraints and our reliance of the worldly knowledge. You will have to be willing and a pliable vessel. We have to enter into a spiritual mindset within our belief and faith in God's supernatural movement within our physical realm. Pray for a new level of spiritual discernment. Pray for a heightening of your spiritual senses. The Lord needs experienced warriors grounded in His truth and His spirit.
That is so beautiful and so timely, because this coming Wednesday I'm going to accelerate things that God has taught me about praying, so that we can all be better prayers. The more better we pray, the more things we can accomplish for the Lord. I'm going to pray for the sick, but before I do, I want to pray for the lost. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Make Jesus your Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Teach me your word.
Teach me your word.
Use me.
Use me.
To enlarge your pomegranate garden.
To enlarge your pomegranate garden.
Let me bear much fruit.
Let me bear much fruit.
Here am I.
Here am I.
Send me.
Send me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 Now, if you prayed that prayer of salvation, feel free to call me. My announcer will give you my number at the end of this program. Now, let me pray for those of you who are sick. Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, I ask, please, that the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in His wings. First of all, I want to thank You, Father, that someone has been healed. There is a peace inside of the stomach lining. There is some kind of a healing that has taken place, and that stomach is being repaired more and more and more, and you will see that there is the improvement. It continues to there, and the discomfort and things you've been having there, that's going to completely subside. Trust the Lord. It will subside, and you will be completely healed there in the name of Jesus. Appendicitis, just stop that right now. Stop that right now. You don't have any action. Don't have any action there. Just peace, be still in Jesus' name. Gallbladders, be healed in the name and the power of just spine, backbone, spine, vertebrae, top right on down to the bottom. In the name and the power of Jesus, let there be a perfect alignment of the vertebrae from the brain stem right on down to the last one. A perfect alignment. Crack, 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 crack. And anything pressed there that needs not to be pressed, unpress it. Diabetes. diabetic nerve pain be gone. Stop in Jesus' name. Let there be perfect circulation there in the blood and in the nerves and in the tendons and the bones. Bones be made strong in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, where your leg is missing, let there be a leg to grow out and grow back by the hand of Jesus, by the name of Jesus. With God, all things are possible. God is not absolutely limited by lack of legs or anything else. Be healed. Stomach aches again. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. We give you glory. Now, if you were healed there, and some of you were, I really feel that, feel free to call and tell me that. Leave that message also. Don't forget, Sunday, April 1st, 5 p.m., the cross, the blood, the heart. Scott and I will be here with, and have your beautiful program. Hopefully, it'll really help you worship. And every Sunday, 5 p.m., Wednesday, 6 p.m., Thursday, 12 noon to 2 p.m., if you want to stop by for prayer. Now, remember that anything that you have is given to you is not yours to keep. You're to share. Okay? So, go and tell others. Start applying this word. This word is not for you to just come in here and say, what a great story. In every one of these lessons, there's something so deep in all of these lessons, because God's word is. Go out there and do it this week. And ask God to put people before you. He'll give you a chance if you will try. And he'll help you with that. And you don't have to start out with a multitude, but just ask him to show you something you can do to get that word to another people. Be a blessing in the world, and don't always be sitting and wait for your blessing. I also want to say to all of you, whatever your job is, be the very best in that job, and you'll get promoted. Just thought I would say that. Well, remember this about Jesus. His name is called the Word of God, and Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, next Trumpet of Truth, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson, and we say that we love you, we bless you, may the Lord shine his face upon you, may he give you all kinds of joyous hugs and joy blossoms, and may his power and strength be upon you, and make you a beautiful Shulamite blessing. May you bless everybody, everywhere you go. May you be pure and holy, and bring you back next week so we can learn some more of the beautiful heart of Jesus. Until then, everybody, go and blow the trumpet of truth.
Been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Do you know that 91.5 WMIE listeners love to support local Christian businesses, ministries, and events? Right now, listeners in Titusville, Cocoa, Vieira, Rockledge, Melbourne, Cocoa Beach, and Palm Bay could be hearing about your business, your ministry, or your upcoming event. If you would like to get the word out to our listeners about what you offer our community, give us a call today at 321-632-1000. That's 321-632-1000. Or stop by our 91.5 WMIE booth at the Spring Praise Fest this Saturday in Cocoa Village.
Of ages, clear for me. in our lives. And Father, how you brought us through. When deep were the wounds and dark was the night, the promise of your love you proved. Now every battle still to come, let this be our song. It is well.
It is well with my soul. 7. I've always believed you've got the power, I have the need. Merciful heaven, have mercy on me. Some people want what they deserve, but not me. No, I know my heart too well. I've just barely got the nerve just to make this one request, and I know that you will hear me. Merciful heaven, have mercy on me. A place where I can live at your feet, forgiven perfect.